We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. But today doesn't feel that way. We are divided in more ways than one, and the media and the powers that be all have their own agenda. The people of this great nation no longer care about the truth, they only care about the side they are on. At Poor 360, I am trying to change that. We're bringing you the facts and history so we can all learn something and make our own decisions. Tune in every Tuesday to be a part of that journey.
What on earth is that? It's a Journey into Comics Network production!
Went forward in time to view alternate futures, to see all the possible outcomes of the coming conflict.
How many did you see?
14,605.
How many did we win?
One.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Journey into Comics, the podcast that's dedicated to everything nerd. With your host, the podfather himself, Nate Phillips, and introducing his new co-host, Tyler McLaughlin.
You should have gone for the head.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of Journey into Comics. It's Journey into Comics 291. I am your host, Nate. Today, joining me back yet again, the Savage One. He's big, he's green, he's mean, he's sometimes angry, but soft and fluffy if you tell him that the sun's getting real low. Welcome back once again to the show. The man, the myth, the legend, you know him as T.Y. How's it going, my friend?
The Savage One is something that I've never been called, but from now on, that's how I want to be addressed. Like, formally, formerly the artist known as Prince, I want to be formally introduced as the Savage One.
Awesome, I love it.
From now on.
The Podfather and the Savage One.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking A, doggy. I love that I just coined you completely.
I love it.
I'm just going to be real. I'm gong showed out of my mind right now, and I just like looked at an Avengers Age of Ultron poster, and it made me think of Savage Hulk when fucking Scarlet Witch gets in his head and he goes all fucking bonkers.
Right.
And I was like, oh, fucking Tyler's savage like the fucking Hulk. Yes. So now you're the Savage One. That's what happened. That's real life.
It fits.
I'm so glad. So how you been, man?
I'm hanging in there. You know, fortunately/unfortunately, Skylar and I are both still working. Ruby's still going to daycare.
So you guys are just carrying on like life is normal, essentially.
Well,
but
I mean, like, not necessarily. It's like life is normal inside the house, but like, you know, I went to the grocery store yesterday, and Ruby begged me to go to the grocery store. You know, it's like Ruby does not like going to the grocery store, like specifically because it's boring. We just walk around, get groceries, you know. But when a 3-year-old is begging you to go to the grocery store just so she can leave the house, you know, more than just stepping outside, you know, it's like it's starting to take its toll.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we're all keeping our spirits up as best as we can. You know, we've got it obviously better than most because we can still go to work. But, like, you've heard me ramble on for, you know, years at this point about how, like, we're not meant to just go to work and then die. Like, the highlight of this pandemic is the fact that I still get to work, and that's pretty sad.
I mean, the really crazy opposite thing is, and all that, man, is the reality is you probably need that, like, month quarantine break to reset.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Like, I have found the more people I have contacted and interacted with who are stuck at home, who do have jobs and things, if they've had mental health struggles, if they've been run ragged from their jobs, or whatever their case may be, a lot of them are like, you know, what's fucking crazy is like I miss it because like I miss interacting and whatnot, but I'm so refreshed. Like, I want to take on the world. And I'm like, imagine if 1 month out of the year, everybody got a vacation.
Right.
A whole month. Just get yourself right. That should be necessity for basic human needs.
Mm-hmm.
And to get people, you know,
well. And it's,
well.
you know, we all need that. We all need that time to shut down, refresh, reset. But then, like, frustrate. Like, the list of things that are frustrating continue to grow during this pandemic. We've got, you know, all the misinformation campaigns, all the political bullshit going on. You know, if you're trying to stay educated as far as what's going on behind the scenes, information coming to and from China. You know, I got a article that I found this morning that said the estimated death toll for China is actually 21 million.
Well, considering they haven't told us the real number of people that have died from that, well, yeah.
This says, because they've discussed and hinted that their number is actually not super high. I'll save everybody the how dry this article is and just read the headline. 21 million Chinese died of coronavirus. U.S. intelligence officials intercept data. So from December of last year to March of this year, our intelligence experts have basically intercepted and compiled the data that 21 million people have actually lost their lives in China from the disease or from complications of the virus or their government.
From ability to get, you know, fucking healthcare.
Right.
Do they have fucking healthcare for everybody there, though, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know.
How's that work, even? I don't know. I feel like everything I think I know about China is probably incorrect. Like, honestly, I feel like I don't really know how they operate there as much
well,
as I want to.
It's kind of tricky because, you know, most of what we know about China is what we were taught in high school about communism being bad and
yep.
China's bad because of communism. And communism is bad. I mean, we can inherently agree
100%.
Economically, socially, politically, communism just does not work. And it's bad. And it's normally a good avenue for a dictator, much like fascism, to hold control over a population of people and control every aspect of their lives. You know, we talked on more than one podcast about at the beginning of the outbreak, when North Korea got their first confirmed case, they pulled him out in the street and they shot him. So, you know, that's communism. I think China's a little bit more relaxed as of, you know, really our lifetime. But I still, you know, remember reading reports like shortly after I was out of high school of the government finding out about families having more children than they were supposed to and killing all the children. So... Yep. If you have one more kid than you're supposed to, we'll take away all your children. So I don't know. It's a lot like the outbreak as a whole. There's so much misinformation. It's hard to say without actually experiencing it.
It really is, man. And I think, you know, it's really interesting in this time because, okay, leading up to the pandemic officially being announced and what I'm calling Q Day, which was March 12th, of 2020 for us, that was the first day that like the schools were closed. V officially had no job. You know, Sarah was pretty aware that lessons weren't going to be happening in the capacity they usually do happen and whatnot, and that we were kind of at an impasse. So like from then to now, you know, I have not watched a lot of news. Like I've kind of been away from it, and I just like catch headlines here and there, check CNN or MSNBC once in a while or whatever fucking, you know, Washington Post or whatever fucking site comes up on the feed and just be like, okay, well, this seems okay. Is there any truth to it? Yes or no, whatever. The thing that's interesting is, like, you hear the flattening of the curve's flattening, it's getting lower. And I don't know, man. I feel like I'm so out of that right now and into all these other things that, you know, I'm just doing the best I can, I guess is what I'm trying to say, to protect my family. Like, I give a fuck less. Like you guys are even my family. That's why I check in on you guys. You know, checking in on everybody is me making sure my people are all okay in this crazy time, because that's what's most important. I give a fuck about what the news pundits have to say and what their opinions on it are, because we're all going to die, apparently. What's really seemingly going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not good. But in this crazy time, I've been keeping insanely busy, busier than usual, just trying to keep myself from going mad. And, you know, this weekend, Ollie went to his dad's house. We allowed that to happen, which we're still very nervous about. We're not sure how we're playing all this, but it is what it is. It's a learning experience as we go, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And on Friday, I was like, I'm not going to just sit here and do dick all day and fucking play video games and do nothing. I need to be productive and get my mind up to creative levels and like do something with my time. So I sent you guys some video. I redid the fucking comic room, bro.
Yeah.
Man. Whoa. It wasn't even meant to be like that as a project. So here's a funny story. You can laugh at me because it's like a fucking Calamity Nate, dumbass Nate type story. So, you know, when we got Ollie at the start of this, the whole thing, we went and got him a really nice air mattress for the comic room because we don't officially have a bed for him here yet. That's a whole other podcast we could do 2 weeks on. Doesn't matter. So it was like, let's just get him a nice, really comfy air mattress. He'll zen out because he's a little dude. It'll be great.
Right.
You know?
Air mattresses are always cool when you're a kid.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you. Okay. So this one's especially cool because it's got like an outer raft that blows up. That's like your walls and then like an inner bed. So you almost have like a little bit of a cushion around you. It like keeps you in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty big. It's like, it's almost like a full size bed with that included. The mattress itself is like a twin, but then the fucking thing around it makes it like a full. So it barely fits in the comic room. And with those, you know, you'll know this, not necessarily the listener won't maybe not know this, but I have these shelves that I put on the ground to keep my comic boxes balanced because they can topple because of the carpet just not sitting them right mm-hmm. very well, you know? So those are very sharp. The corners of those shelves are extraordinarily sharp. I've gashed my toe before. I fucking sliced my thumb a couple times moving the fucking things. Like, they are a pain in the ass. So I tell Ollie the first day of living with us, I'm like, listen, man, you can't be jumping around in here in this bed because if you do and it slides over there, it will puncture the fucking bed and then you won't have a bed. Okay. Or we'll have to go get you another bed. Or, you know, I was just like, be cautious. You know, it's not the time to be spending more money than we need to. So he is super careful and does great. And one night he takes the mattress and all the air mattress stuff out in the living room and builds a fort. And I was totally for it. It was fun. I had to podcast that night. I think we were doing the last supercast that we did with Nick and Brando and Buckles and everybody. And, it's time for him to come to bed. I bring the bed back in here. I start making the bed up. I get half of the sheet on. I go to the other side. I go to push the thing down. It slides out from under me. It goes right into a shelf and fucking punctures the bed. So teachable moment. I'm like, Ollie, come here. And he's like, what? And I was like, look what happened. He's like, I didn't do it. And I was like, I didn't. I'm not blaming you, bro. I'm about to tell you what happened. I told you these things were sharp. And my dumb ass just popped it. And he starts laughing. He thinks it's hilarious. So I use Gorilla Tape and I patch the motherfucker and pump that shit back up. And it's good overnight. And it was good for the rest of the week. We made the decision ultimately to throw it away when he was gone. We're going to get him something better. But that made me think, like, I need to redo the comic room. I want to get those shelves out.
You should have just returned it.
Well, we've had it for like a month and a half.
I would have done
it. We had purchased it. Well, fair. Maybe we should. Well, maybe we can't now. It's in the trash. Anyways, fuck. And that's a whole other story. We'll get to the trash in a minute. And now with this, folks, I promise. We're going to get to stuff later. But so I came in here with one objective, TY. I'm going to take the shelves out from under the comic boxes, and that's it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Leave it alone. But in order to do that, I have to take each box of comics out of its shelf and then move the shelf unit because they're all taped together because I like to do that. That way it keeps stability. Again, it's all about stability with these cardboard boxes and trying to make sure the books themselves stay protected.
Right.
So I get all that shit out. I'm moving the shelves, and it hits me. I have all this space where the books were. And I look over at the TV that's in the opposite corner of the room, and I'm like, you know, it really bothers me that when you're sitting on the couch, you can't just fucking watch the goddamn TV. I think it's time. And I just went to town, bro, and started moving. I tore everything in this room apart. Everything in this room has been moved and cleaned and swept away, and some stuff rehung and changed completely. Like, I will probably post pictures on our social media at some point, but man, like, I absolutely needed the change. And now this room is spacious enough that, like, we can get a nice bed for Ollie in here. So it'll be really good.
Nice.
Plus I can, like, slide the sofa that has the bed into position into, like, the corner of the room. So, like, right now I'm just looking up at the TV that has the articles and shit we're going to talk about. The board's right next to me. I'm like, it's fucking perfect, man. I can't wait for you to see it. I wish this quarantining bullshit was done so you could come hang out with me.
Yeah, Skylar and I were talking about it, like, during lunch today. We are ready to do a lot of shit, not even be, like, super extra about it. Just be like, you know, all the times that we've talked about, like, going to that steak part that we'd never been to, now this has put it in perspective. Like, it's time to go. So, I don't know.
It's like, as soon as we can start doing things in the world like regular people again, everybody is going to feel that, like, I'm doing the thing I said I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Because I might not have got that. Like, what if during coronavirus, God forbid, I would have got it and then died and not got to experience, you know, riding the go-karts backwards with my dick out, you know? Like,
right.
I don't know why that came to my mind, but it sounded like fun, maybe.
Hey, yeah, that sounds like a hell of a time.
I mean, I don't know why I'm backwards on it. I don't know how I'm driving it with my dick. There's a lot of logistical problems to that now that I think about it. But I digress.
You'll have incentive and time to figure it out.
I do. I do have incentive and time to figure it out now that I have nothing to do. But you know, make the house nice. And that kind of leads into my next thing. With all this crazy shit I've had time to do, like, I landscaped our entire house, bro. I went on a tear. I tore down trees and fucking pulled out big ass weeds that were almost the size of trees and fucking. This land has never been, like, landscaped as well as it is now since probably, like, 2001. Maybe before then. And I was, like, 12 years old, you know? So, like, I don't know, man. I've got all this time. I look outside. It's a nice day out. What am I gonna do? I'll just fucking bag up some leaves and shit. Fuck it. Like, why not, right?
Right.
So, I will say that has kind of been nice, giving me the opportunity. And then, like, here's some funny shit. You'll laugh about this. So, like, e-learning. You don't have to deal with that yet. Ruby's not old enough to be in school yet. But, like, e-learning is real, and it's kind of a pain in the balls. Kids have assignments. They have, like, the essentially from Monday to Monday to do all the different kind of assignments. The teacher suggests you do it in, like, a 3-day span. But they have, like, PE. And for PE this week, it says you have to make an obstacle course and then have the kid run the obstacle course for 20 minutes. Have the kid suggest what goes on the obstacle course. So I'm like, Ollie, what do you want with this obstacle course? And I swear to God, this way he says, he's like, I want a ladder and two chairs and, like, 25 sticks.
Shit, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, my first thought is, are we having a wrestling match right now? Because a ladder and chairs, like, that's, those are oddly specific, and we're outside and stuff like that. Like, what are you getting at here, kid? So that makes my bell ring. Bingo. I know what to do. I'm going to set up this obstacle course for this kid. I go get a bunch of sticks that I had cut down from the trees in the back. I fucking set them up like cones, have him weave through them and shit, like, have him do some side steps over some planks, army crawl under the two chairs that are back to back, all rugged and shit. He has to ride his scooter across the fucking way, and then I made him climb the ladder to a real WWE wrestling belt that I hung off of a tree and made him retrieve. It was fucking hilarious. We had to film it, and it was great. I don't know. this quarantine has been making me do weird, funny shit.
Well, all the parents out there that are bitching about e-learning, like, let's stop bitching about it, because like that's how I'm doing college and it's awful. I mean, I think this is the perfect opportunity for us as a society to put it in perspective and say, e-learning as a whole fucking sucks. But I think what we need to focus on is look at the time that you're getting to spend with your children that you didn't get.
Oh, it's awesome.
That you didn't get
to
spend before.
Yep. Yep. And creativities and activities and fucking, you know, like I said, last episode, reading comics and whatnot, which has been fun. We finished the Court of Owls. We're moving on now to the Night of Owls in the Batman story.
Well, you know, and like, I'm glad that you brought that series up. That you know how you and Ollie are reading stuff together, and he's experiencing it for the first time. Think about this: you're a parent, right? And
yeah.
And Ollie comes home from school and says, "Yeah, my e-learning today. I'm supposed to read 2 hours of this science book." Okay.
Sure, I follow.
What's the lessons on? It's on fucking photosynthesis. Okay.
Plants.
It's pretty important, biology, right?
Sure, yep.
How about instead of reading that book for 2 hours, if you read that book for, let's say read 3 chapters of that book, then you can read comic books for an hour.
Boom.
And then if you read comic books for an hour and you feel like refreshed, you can do the rest of your reading and then read more comic books. Or like I've read article after article of parents taking whatever bullshit curriculum the public education system has sent home for this e-learning and filled it with something else that's more productive.
There are better ways to teach.
Exactly.
And that's what we're learning here, is there are better ways to teach. I think that's very a great point to put it into. And another thing is, right now, interestingly enough, you do have some parents who, they were probably people on the cusp, like, we've been thinking about homeschooling, and then this shit happened, and now they definitely don't want to homeschool.
Yeah.
Like, this is snapped
or
into
they do.
Reality. Like, it's tough. I was just getting ready to go there, or exactly on the opposite, they do. I will say it is definitely difficult. It is a struggle to get your kid motivated to learn from home when they're in a totally different space. They don't have their classmates to kind of energize, support them, that communal sense of togetherness. But it also, as a parental figure, it does test your ability to say, like, okay, well, you know, I've always bitched and moaned and pissed and complained about how I didn't enjoy how I got taught things growing up.
Right.
What's a better way? Like, here's your fucking chance. Do it. What's going to happen? So that's, you know, that's kind of all I got in that avenue. But, man, I will say I've been having fun with reading the comics and shit, dude. It's definitely been a blast.
That's good.
Fuck yeah, man. So I was going to say what's up or new in your world, but you've already told us it's like pretty much business as usual. Have you been doing anything to kind of relax and get away other than just doing the daily grind?
I have, like I normally do.
Large penis.
The opposite, in fact.
Stop.
My normal routine, and it's kind of like my anxiety and like my OCD and my ADHD. But if you ask Skylar what I spend the most amount of time doing, like most of my friends would say, oh, it's playing video games. Or reading books, because those are like my two favorite things to do in the world. Or cooking,
for sure.
You know, I like to cook a lot. But it's watching YouTube videos, man. Like that is my outlet for education. So for hours and hours, like I've been jumping back and forth during the day between podcasts and like turn a YouTube video on and then just put my phone in my pocket. So then I just have the audio of just different things. I'm going to listen how to make 14 different recipes and then try it this week. And like, what, how am I going to, am I finally going to build that outdoor kitchen this year? Or, you know, what are my options for remodeling the kitchen and the bathroom? And like all this different shit, you know, maybe, it's a whole gamut of things. So like one day it might be like teaching me how to do something. And the next day it might be like, well, when I finish the apprenticeship, what career path, or what do I want to go back to school for? Maybe I want to go back to school for conservation, like be a conservational scientist. Maybe I want to be a forester. I don't know. I got to figure all this shit out somehow. You know, so I don't know.
So you're just watching things and learning.
Yeah.
And as you learn, you're deciding what you enjoy learning most about.
Yeah. See, because it's like when I was when I was in school, like not college, because college is different. When I was in like middle school and high school and elementary school, like all I wanted to do my entire life was to be a marine biologist. There's nothing that fascinates me more on the earth than the ocean. And,
sure, absolutely.
You know, and you know, I've lived by more than one ocean, spent a lot of time in the water, and you know, I decided through being lazy and life choices that I wasn't gonna do that. But I was always
it's a hard path. It definitely is.
Yeah, but I was always an auditory learner, or I don't remember. Oratory. I could read a book and know how to do something, and I would never forget it. And now it's like,
sure.
Now it's like, okay, I don't have time to sit and read 700 different books on how to do 700 different things. But I definitely have
to watch a 25-minute video
exactly.
That can show you 30 different hacks.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm almost entirely an oratory learner now. I've conditioned myself to be that way. Watch somebody do something and then I know how to do it, kind of thing. But I just like, I don't know. I'm a weird dude, man. I like to build shit, but I don't like to be told what to do. But I also have to have structure, or else I won't stay on task. I don't know. Life's being an adult sucks.
That's like just everything in a blender, though, man. Like it makes perfect sense. If someone's not telling you like what the prize is or what you're going towards, you don't
right.
feel a drive or a purpose, and it's totally makes sense, man. It's funny, you know, you talk about the building thing. I love watching videos of people building shit. Like, honestly, it's one of my favorite things. Like, there are these guys, okay? We're told whatever. I can give JIC is whatever the fuck we want at TY. That's why we're going to talk about what we want today. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever. So, there are these two dudes, and they're like, I want to say maybe Polynesian. They're somewhere in, like, maybe Brazil or somewhere like that. And they're like, southern part of the globe is what I'm getting at, folks. They are in a nice tropical environment.
They're around the equator somewhere.
Sure. And they build with their bare fucking hands these luscious, luxurious, in the middle of nowhere, dude, these luscious, luxurious fucking pools and hot tubs
mm-hmm.
and like hut house things that are fucking hideaways. Like, it's the craziest shit. They made this underwater tunnel that went to this other place. I'm like, how the fuck? How did just. What? Like. The engineering
yeah.
is blowing my mind, you know? It's just, like, absolutely stunning. But then I'm always the kind of guy that if I watch somebody build something, like, with wood or something, my first thought is, like, oh, I would love to do that. I would totally fuck it up or hurt myself. I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing that. It's just who I am
yeah.
as a person, I guess. But, I was going to get to something and I totally... Oh, yeah, you were talking about awesome videos. I wanted to mention one video. There's this guy on YouTube I think you would really appreciate. His name is Chris... I don't remember. But he's the puzzle guy.
Okay.
And he solves these crazy elaborate puzzles, right?
Okay.
And he's trending this week. I've been watching him for like a year now, but like he's trending this week because... he, through the revenues of YouTube and whatnot, found this really crazy company that does escape room props and had them custom build him a $20,000 puzzle that looks like it's from the future. And it was fucking awesome. It's like, I don't know. It's just like, you have to like, when you look at each puzzle, every puzzle he does, he looks at every little thing, because it's not just like, oh, these two pieces fit, that must be the answer. It's like, oh, you have to unlock this box in a certain position so that this other drawer pops open that gives you this key that you fit in this tiny hole that pops this other thing up that gives you another thing that, you know, like very intricate, like sequential, very challenging puzzle type things. But they are mesmerizing to watch because he edits them in such a way where you're like, you just watch all the good parts of it and all the best bits, and he times himself. So you can see the real timer of like him like 27 hours working on this impossible puzzle. It's, I don't know, it's great. If you've got time to kill or you like watching weird shit, that's something I definitely recommend.
Awesome.
All right, I think we've fiddly fucked around for long enough. You ready to get into some shiz?
Sure.
T.Y., I'm going to let you lead off on this one, my friend. You brought some shit to the table this week that you wanted to talk about, and I'm going to let you start getting down with it and tell us what you found, my friend.
So, just kind of perusing the webs today, as they say. I don't really know that anybody actually says that, but that's what
you're on the line. I get you.
That's what we're going to go with. I pulled up this article from actually this morning, or actually this early this afternoon. Star Wars brings back Darth Maul to set up The Mandalorian Season 2. And it's a pretty juicy article, and for most people that are big Star Wars fans, they've watched The Clone Wars. I really haven't. And I know you for a fact, I sent this to you, and you're like, well, that sounds real cool. Now I'm going to have to watch The Clone Wars because I never have. And Ruby and I kind of started to watch The Clone Wars as a thing that we were doing because we've watched all the actual Star Wars movies enough at this point that she wanted something new.
And, wow.
Yep.
Impressive.
Yep. I remember the original Clone Wars show. Do you know the one I'm talking about where it's like actual pen and paper animation?
Yeah, yep, I do.
Almost.
Clone Wars, the animated series. Yeah. I do remember that.
Yeah, it was like, I think it was the same animators that actually did, like, Samurai Jack. It was in that style anyway, for sure. And I remember watching that and loving it. And then they did, you know, they canceled that series, and then they did another one where the animation was a little bit different, and I was like, okay, you know, this looks pretty dumb. Because I didn't really care for the animation. And then on its third iteration, they do where it's, you know, almost like cheesy 90s video game animation. But the story is told like almost in like a Flash Gordon serial, like episodic show. And it's incredible. Like all of these, and I don't want to spoil 7 seasons of Clone Wars for anybody that's listening to the show. you know, kind of the way that I did for you, obviously.
It's okay.
But, like, there's all these little threads and little tidbits that, you know, season 1, episode 5, you might not see that character again, or, you know, the events of that show or of that episode might not be relevant again until Season 5, Episode 1. Like, it is very interconnected, and I really, you know, especially you and I kind of called this back when we figured out that Dave Filoni was a big part of The Mandalorian, that The Mandalorian was going to take a lot of inspiration from The Clone Wars, and hopefully they use that show to, you know, Clone Wars Rebels, to Clone Wars and Rebels to set up story threads and plots and characters and whatnot going forward in The Mandalorian. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm really glad that they did the 7th season to finally wrap everything up. Yeah, it's just a great
and
show.
It looks like they're building it. It looks like they're building it with purpose towards mm-hmm. the future that they're planning. It's very very clever how they're finding ways to weave all of their things together. I don't know if this was always the plan or if this was the hope and then they didn't know if they would ever get to this plan or whatnot. But you know, as soon as you sent me the article, I did say it was great. I read the whole fucking thing and I was like, man, that sounds cool. I know some of what's going on. I know about Darth Maul. I know about Crimson Dawn. I did see Solo. I love that movie. You know, I do know where we're going in Mandalorian. I know about the Darksaber and whatnot being in Moff Gideon's possession, but I'm learning new things here, and I'm really excited. Of course, reading this article, T.Y., made me think of something else that's topical in the Star Wars world.
Yeah?
We have a new Ahsoka Tano. Ahsoka Tano? Ahsoka Tano? Ahsoka Tano?
Ahsoka Tano.
Ahsoka Tano. Tano. Ahsoka Tano. Okay. We have a new Ahsoka Tano. She's going to be in The Mandalorian Season 2, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Rosario Dawson. Yeah.
Dope, bro.
Which, there's a lot of the fan base. So, Ahsoka Tano is kind of a divisive character for fans of the show, Star Wars fans in general, because she's kind of like the... Man, what's the word for, like, Superman-type characters?
She's like, God Complex or something?
No, it's kind of, she's kind of a Mary Sue, but at the same time, she's like, it's all like witty. It like, I don't know. I've heard the term and I can't remember it off the top of my head, but like Ahsoka always gets in these situations where, because she's witty and she has attitude and she's sarcasm, that is her superpower essentially. When in reality, like, she's an accomplished Jedi, but not like, and she's not Anakin Skywalker powerful. So, spoiler alert, I'll give everyone an example. In the Rebels show, Star Wars Rebels, at one point, her and Darth Vader fight.
Dope.
You know, Ahsoka is an adult at that point. Darth Vader is obviously an adult. He's the fucking chosen one. He is truthfully the most powerful Jedi to ever live.
Fact.
He should wipe the floor with her. And it doesn't necessarily go that way. So, it gets pretty convoluted. But I think there was a lot of fan castings, and even to the point that the voice actress that plays Ahsoka wasn't really thrilled at first. I don't think, I can't confirm, but from what I've read,
Ashley Eckstein, right?
Yeah, and things that I've read and other things that people have said is that she wasn't necessarily thrilled with a Rosario Dawson. But I don't know. I like Rosario Dawson a lot, so I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, what are your thoughts?
I think with Rosario, you are incorporating a big name. She's done a lot of projects. She has her name tied to a lot of amazing different franchises throughout history.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of an everyman player, almost akin to your like Christopher Walken. She shows up in a lot of different places you may or may not expect her, and every time she does, she knocks it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing against Ashley Eckstein, and I know she's the voice. However, I think it would have been too surreal as a Star Wars fan for you to listen and visually see the same voice you heard in an animated show be a real life person. It mm-hmm. would have been a mind trip that fucks you up.
Yeah.
And I think that it's smart to bring in a slightly different actress who can bring her own flair, her own kind of... Listen, we've only seen Ahsoka in so many ways, which is this animated thing.
Right.
And there is, beyond that, the human emotion that can't capture. And Rosario Dawson has that. I mean, she's played some really emotional roles in her career. Whether it was like in fucking Men in Black 2 or Clerks 2 or... Fucking, she's been all kinds of shit, but like
she was in the movie Alexander. Daredevil.
Yeah, that one too as well. I think this is a smart play because again, you're bringing big names on. It helps to, again, we've already established that the Mandalorian series is a a franchise to be taken seriously. It's not like something they're going to cancel after two seasons or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
I think this just levels up. We're bringing big players to the show frequently. We're going to have big names that play parts. We're going to bring in your, you know, your Cara Dune was fucking Gina Carano. And
right.
We're going to bring in your fucking, even Taika. He's a big actor, honestly, and a director. And sure, he directed some of that shit, so it's funny to put him in there or whatever. But, like, he still plays a very prominent role in that series and is a massive part of Star Wars lore now.
Right.
So to have all these big names tied to it, I just think, you know, no offense to Ashley Eckstein, but she's a voice actress first. And cutting into the other world, you know, it doesn't always slice that well. And, you know, I get it. She could be like, oh, that should have went to me because I'm the voice. But you got to think about the bigger picture, and you're going to also be attracting new Star Wars fans now just because Rosario Dawson is in it.
Right. Well, and I remember now, now that I've had a couple minutes to think about it, like, one of the biggest complaints from the fan base is Ahsoka is the only on-screen version of a gray Jedi that we've ever had. And she gets in these situations, and the way that the stories are written, because she's this gray Jedi that shoehorns her, you know, all these different directions, and it's just unnecessary. Because I'm sorry, folks, according to George Lucas, gray Jedi did not exist. So
I don't know if I agree with you, George Lucas. I know that that's his thing, but
I mean, he is the guy that created it.
Yeah, but he only had, I mean, his lore only went so far, and then he had writers and other people that really were telling those stories in bigger scale and making the lore what we know it is today. I mean, that'd be like saying that Taika Waititi is, you know, also solely the creator of The Mandalorian, even though we know he's not.
But
Dave Filoni is really the guy that wrote it.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
Who created Superman, Nate?
Oh, you had to ask me that fucking question right now.
Okay, here, let's change it up.
Schuster. Schuster and Siegel, maybe?
Who created Batman?
Bill Finger, Bob Kane.
Okay.
Bill Finger first, though.
What if you started writing Batman, right?
Sure, I would love that. That would be absolutely amazing. Okay. I have 1,000 stories in my head.
And you give Batman the power to do anything. Let's pick one. Just throw something out there.
Okay, I would actually give Batman an actual ability of invisibility.
Okay, Batman can turn invisible, right?
100%. It's new tech.
And then through the power of technology, you can talk to Mr. Finger. And he says, hey.
That'd be crazy. He's super fucking dead.
I know. Okay. I know. That's what I'm saying. Through the power of technology. And he says, hey, I created Batman. Batman can't turn invisible. You're ruining what I created. How would you feel?
I would say, bro, first of all, you're dead as shit.
Okay.
Second of all, they hired me right now to tell this story. And I'm not discrediting Bill. I'm not saying that Batman has, say, always been invisible when he wants to be, and it's not just a metaphor that he can hide well in the shadows. I'm using the advancements of Bruce Wayne becoming a very smart, science-y type and using his money to fund the research to go, you know what, why don't I have an invisibility suit that I can just fucking push a button on my bat belt? It mirrors everything around me. It looks like I'm not there. It's just that to me is something that Bruce would actually do. I didn't say Batman should have fucking laser eyes, you know?
What if you picked laser eyes?
If I would have picked laser eyes, it would have totally made sense for him to be like, hey, man, you're fucking up Batman. What the fuck?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, you're right.
That's what I was trying to get you to, and then you totally sidestepped my whole spiel, and it's like, all right, okay.
You're like, shit, I got you there, huh?
Yeah. I mean, what am I supposed to say now?
I don't know, man. But honestly, the thing with the Gray Jedi, I think that Lucas created the idea of Star Wars. Sure, he had the the spark that created this world that we all fucking love and a lot, and his vision. We have to be real, his vision, because, you know, he went through and selected with all his art departments, like, what everything would ultimately look like, Ralph Quarry, like, what we're going to do here and things of that nature. But, like, there are still parts of the Star Wars lore and the story that we all love that are way bigger than Lucas. And Ahsoka being a Grey Jedi is awesome, and I'm hopeful that they do that some justice. Like, because what, you know what it sounds like to me, man, and I want to get your opinion to kind of, like, I'm, like, volleying this shit right back to you, but are we essentially going to see Ahsoka Tano be the first Jedi in The Mandalorian that we officially see?
I would say so, yes.
And then the deeper question, and is this going to be, because of what we just read here for Clone Wars, are we going to get some sort of weird, trippy flashback into the Clone Wars where they real life it and, like, they turn it into live action? Instead of bringing her in as a new character, we're going backwards to the Battle of Mandalore?
I would say probably that would make the most sense, because as of, you know, the timeline, when does this, just for anyone who may have forgotten, when does The Mandalorian take place in the timeline, Nate?
After 5 years after Jedi.
Okay, 5 years after Return of the Jedi. So there is a long, time gap.
It's a big ass stretch.
There is a long time gap between the Battle of Mandalore and the fall of the Empire. And if you go through all of the canon, Darth Maul dies right before, canonically, Darth Maul dies right before, A New Hope. Because he goes to, and this is, you know, spoiler alert for the show.
I think we talked about this before.
Yeah.
And then, because, like, I hadn't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sent it to me, so now I have seen it, so I can't wait to comment. Yep. Continue, please continue.
So, but right before Rogue One and A New Hope, Darth Maul goes to Tatooine to kill Luke, to finally kill Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan kills him, you know, blah, 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 blah. So all of this, this timeline that involves Ahsoka Tano and Darth Maul has to be prior to that. So we're talking young Han Solo, you know, obviously old Obi-Wan Kenobi at that point, but, like, I don't know. There is a very, very, if she is not dead, and this is not flashback, there is a very particular time that this has to be, and it cannot be during present day Mandalorian, is what I was trying
to
get
to. That's what I thought. No, I absolutely agree with you. That's, I just, wrapping my head around it, I just couldn't, she'd have to be old as shit,
and
essentially,
she,
is the first issue.
And spoiler alert, she's dead.
Spoiler alert, she's fucking dead, folks. She died. She ceased to be. No longer.
Now, there's a possibility that they retcon it, they shoehorn her back to life, and, you know, she's Obi-Wan'd it and lived in exile somewhere. You know, I think that's a total possibility, and it would fit with kind of the history of the character. So it would, you know, in a way almost make sense.
Okay.
But I don't know. I love that you brought up that we're going to get, like, Clone Wars, Battle of Mandalore, flashbacks, live action. Because if you're fans of Star Wars in general, anything involving the Mandalorians is fucking cool. Like,
yeah,
Boba Fett who, Jango Fett who, let's forget about those two. Like, the actual society of Mandalore, there's a lot there. So hopefully this season actually really hones in and focuses on that, especially with, you know, ending on a cliffhanger at the end of season one with Moff Gideon and the Darksaber. I mean, That is a big plot point for the Mandalorian culture and, you know, the events of Clone Wars and Rebels.
So here's my prediction. You tell me what you think.
Okay.
Season 2 of Mandalorian. Here's what I think we're going to get. We're going to get a lot of Mando doing his best to chase after Moff Gideon, which he's going to realize is alive. That's going to be like the last half of the season, though.
Here, let me hit pause. Let me hit pause real quick. Is he going to be chasing Moff Gideon or running away from Moff Gideon?
Well, and that, well, here's, I was just getting ready to get there because I think it's going to come full circle. I think the first half is going to be Moff secretly stalking the Mandalorian and following he and quote-unquote Baby Yoda, the child, to find where Baby Yoda comes from, where he's really from and his heritage and what his point in the story is, which will come to a great head. You know, maybe Moff Gideon shows up, starts killing some of the people who are in that society and maybe make that species more endangered, more rare, give more importance to Baby Yoda. Then he'll escape barely because, you know, Mando will go off and almost kill Moff. But we're going to, during all of this, need to see, why is Moff Gideon so important? Where did he get the Darksaber? Mm-hmm. Who is he? What's he doing? What's all this? And that's where you get your flashbacks, your Darth Mauls, your Ahsoka Tanos. Maybe, I don't know if this is true, possible, if something they've even considered. Could we get an Alden Ehrenreich appearance as a Han Solo at some point in a cameo capacity? Is that acceptable at this time? I mean, like, what are your thoughts on that?
Man, I think that would be tough. You know, if I was Alden Ehrenreich and the and Disney was trying to talk to me about anything other than a Solo 2, you know, a sequel movie, I probably wouldn't even take their phone call just because of what they did to his career. You know, he was basically slandered in the industry for like 2.5-3 years because of that movie, because of the backlash and the bad publicity. You know, I legitimately probably wouldn't even answer their phone call.
And if I was Disney, the only way I would call him is if I said, look, we want you in a cameo capacity for Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. You'll show up in one episode, you know, have a really small little, maybe he has a quick love interest with Cara Dune or something and then goes off, you know, and, you know, already has Chewie and it's just a quick ba-ba. But that jumpstart ba-ba leads into Solo 2, you know, and going back on the chase for whatever.
Or maybe we just get to see, like, as far as the cameo goes, Han and Chewie interacting with the Crimson Dawn in some capacity. I think that,
yes,
you know, that would make the most sense because Han is still chasing that love interest that is Kira at the end of Solo. You know, she's the one that got away. So if it's something that's relatively fresh, you know, that would make the most sense to me. The conflict between Han Solo and the Crimson Dawn, because that's what we want. That's what we want to see anyway. You know, I think you know, you and I have talked ad nauseum, and I know Brandon and I and Blaine and I and pretty much everybody that's on the network. Nick, you know, Nick's a big one too that loves Darth Maul. You know, he's a character that we want to see more of. I don't necessarily need more Jedi and Sith conflict. I love the story of Darth Maul taking control of these crime syndicates to challenge
fucking Al Capone of space, bro.
Well, and he's straight doing it to undermine the Emperor. Like, you have an army, I'll fucking get one too. Like, I will never forget what you did to me. And that's one of the things that I've always loved so much about Darth Maul as a character. Is it's, you know, visually he looks incredible. You know, Duel of the Fates. No one can ever forget that. The double-sided double-sided fucking lightsaber. I mean, come on. You know, Ray Park, like Ray Park as Darth Maul, like it's great. But like his, man, what's the word? You know, a power, like he's not obviously the strongest Sith in the world, but he's intelligent and he's hard to kill.
Oh yeah,
he's defiant. His defiance to the Emperor is just, you know, it's second to none. Like Luke telling the Emperor no, like, come on. Rey told him no, whatever. Let's forget that Rey Skywalker even exists. Darth Maul straight said, fuck you, Emperor, I'm coming for you. So I want to see more of it. And I think as a fan base, that's really what we need.
Dude, what is Maul's species again?
He's a Zabrak.
Yeah, but wait. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My brain's all over the place. He's like Maul Capone.
Yeah, he's a Zabrak, and he's from the planet Dathomir.
Yeah, he's from Dathomir. Love Dathomir.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say something clever, and I lost it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I found something that'll blow your mind, dude.
Hit me.
Although Lucasfilms nor Rosario Dawson have officially confirmed that she will be playing Ahsoka Tano in Season 2 of The Mandalorian, various reputable sources have seemingly confirmed the news. With fresh details about her potential contract possibly shedding more light on the actress' future in the franchise, according to the direct, Dawson's contract accounts for her appearances in, are you ready for it, multiple series.
Cool.
Which could have her show up as Ahsoka Tano in the Cassian Andor series or Obi-Wan series.
Dope.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Like, I mean, if we're going to get Ahsoka, if you're going to bring that back, that character, and use that character to highlight and, you know, set things up in different plot threads, like, yeah, let's do it for everything, especially Obi-Wan. You know, she's a character who spent a lot of time with Obi-Wan. So let's see it.
Cool. Fuck yeah. Speaking of Cassian Andor, you sent me another thing, man. What's up with that series?
You know, I think that's a big one that we really just don't know. I sent you this article for a little bit more positivity, and you know, I'll just skim through and read the headline here. Star Wars Cassian Andor series completed 6 weeks of pre-production before shutdown. This article dropped yesterday morning. So, you know, we don't really know a lot about it. Obviously, it's got to be pre-Rogue One because of what happens at the end of Rogue One.
No, you don't say.
You don't say. Unless we force ghost him and then he comes back to the life too. I mean,
or unless it's like a Weekend at Bernie's situation.
Well, I mean, it could be
Andor.
The writers of Disney Star Wars, you know, with that garbage that they gave us in the last movie, you know, last two movies really, or actually this entire trilogy was fucking dog shit. I'm just gonna say it. I've beat around the bush a long time, and I've sugarcoated it. It fucking sucked. It was worse than the prequels. Worse than the prequels all day. Give me Attack of the Clones 24 hours a day on loop over any three of the ones that we got in the last 5 years.
No way.
Absolutely.
No way. No way.
Yep.
Lightspeed battering ram alone is better than the entirety of Attack of the Clones. No.
You know what's cooler than lightspeed battering ram? Jango Fett fighting Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's pretty cool. You know what's cooler than a fucking bullshit shoehorned Mary Sue main character? Literally anything in the Clone Wars.
I got him started.
The spider, the gladiator fight in Clone Wars, way cooler than Rey Palpatine. Let's give a big thumbs down for the current trilogy. And you know what's really sad? I got the Star Wars Rise of Skywalker 4K Ultra HD Ultimate Collector's Edition Blu-ray in my hand. And I am not going to watch it.
Oh, damn. You spite bought that shit.
Why did I buy it?
You spite bought it.
Oh, yeah. I spite bought it.
Yeah, that's
the art's that's really exactly cool. I got a limited edition lithograph from... I got a Last Jedi lithograph from Disney for the purchase of that. It's just, I don't know. Give us more cool Star Wars and not garbage.
Man, I don't know. I didn't hate the last Star Wars movie, honestly. I love the series. I don't know. I'm a junkie for the series. I could give a shit less if it's to my 100% perfect standards, because I don't think. Wow. Speaking of Star Wars, it just, did you see that? Did you hear that shit?
I did hear it. So here's where that I'm at, Nate. I also love Star Wars, and I have loved Star Wars for my entire life. I watched my Fox VHS Star Wars to the point where they would not play anymore, okay, I was a kid. And then I got the prequels, and they were okay. Phantom Menace is a good movie. Revenge of the Sith is a good movie. Attack of the Clones is not a good movie.
I can agree with you 100% there.
Okay. Then we get this current trilogy, and we have The Force Awakens, which looks cool, almost had a really good story, and then the characters all fucking suck. And then we get, okay, well, they're not interesting, like, at all, especially in that movie. They're not.
Sure.
And then we get The Last Jedi, and we start to get something unique and interesting. We get lightspeed battering ram. We get a unique, I guess, plot. Not necessarily good, but unique. It looks...
Hey, it's like the most contained story in all of Star Wars taking place in one sector of space.
Visually, it looks phenomenal, like this whole trilogy did. But then we've got more of those characters that don't do anything to make me care about them at all. You know who I cared more about than Finn or Rey? General Holdo, who hit the fucking button and did a light speed battering ram. Like,
she's dope.
I cared more about her than I did any of the other characters that were in all three movies.
Okay, so let me ask you from a slightly different perspective. Because I can't agree that the newly created characters are lackluster in comparison to what's already there, obviously. There's a different level of character from the original trilogy, and even in the people that were playing major parts of the prequel trilogy were still, very, very pertinent. But, like, is there any saving grace in these movies, say, because they did get to tell, like, the final stories of Luke, Han, and Leia? Like, they kind of laid that part of it to rest? Like, is there any upswing for that for you? Like, I thought they did a fantastic job ending those three stories, in my own opinion.
So I will say, kind of, the death of Han I didn't like at all. It just didn't, I don't know, it didn't do it for me. Luke, the way that Luke went out, I loved it. That was fantastic. Leia, it made sense because that's what Leia would do, but it also didn't make sense because I don't like, I don't know, there was enough material and history for Han, Luke, and Leia in the expanded universe that you didn't really have to write something new and unique to make it interesting, and pretty much everything that was printed on paper was more interesting than what they did with Leia in this current trilogy. I will say, and I'm glad that you worded it this way, the one saving grace for this current trilogy is Adam Driver and Kylo Ren. Because that is the one interesting character in this trilogy.
Yeah.
Like just in a nutshell. Radical, man. He was a fantastic villain. He was a fantastic, like, undecided. And he would have made it a fantastic hero too. But instead we got, I don't want to be in Star Wars. Here's my teeth. Rey Skywalker.
Oh, you're funny. Your disdain for Daisy Ridley knows no bounds. And
it just got worse in this last movie. And then Finn, it's like, okay, a John Boyega, I'm kind of digging you. And then I see, like, I have seen so much John Boyega out of character over the last couple months, and I don't want to support him as an actor, like, ever again. Ever. He's just a scumbag.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he's embattled, I think, in a lot of ways, because he's one of those guys who had, you know, an okay acting career pre-Star Wars. Like, he was in a couple things or whatever.
Right.
And then this propelled him into fame, but it was a little too much too soon. It's almost Hayden Christensen. He's almost this generation's Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, I would agree honestly. There.
Not to say that the role is the same where it's like, oh, you had so much judgment because you had to play this iconic character and you fucked it up, per se, even though I don't think necessarily he fucked it up. I just think he's maybe a little bit too whiny, which is, you know, neither here nor there. You can't change it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the director's fault. That's not his fault.
Exactly. And that's, there you go, Lucas, George Lucas, ladies and gentlemen. You know, with the, to talk about the Cassian Andor thing, just to get back to it.
Yeah, let's get back on track before I have an aneurysm.
It's cool that that they completed 6 weeks of pre-production before all this crazy shit broke out. Like, that's good, because that means they are still on track to hopefully maybe, you know, meet their deadline so we can see this fucking show, because I want to see it.
Well, and I think what we as fans need to just accept that pretty much everything that we were excited about seeing is now delayed, and it's not going to be when we wanted to see it. But I think this is the perfect opportunity for the industry as a whole to look at 8 seasons of fucking Game of Thrones, we're looking at you, and not do that.
Or 8 seasons of Dexter and not do that. Oh,
thank you.
Bro, yeah. I loved Dexter, but that 8th season was such a steaming horse shit pile of dung, goddamn fucking...
Yeah, it was bad.
Triceratops
it
shit,
was
man.
Awful. But I don't mean that in jokingly. This is the perfect opportunity for every studio, every producer, every director, every writer to hit pause and say, okay, look, what can I fix? You know, all the things that we were forcing, what can we maybe dial back and not force and not rush? And let's see how we can improve this and actually deliver the product that we promised to begin with. Because Skylar and I were talking, you know, not to bring up Game of Thrones again, but Skylar and I were talking about that yesterday. You know, her and I were talking about, you know, if we do both get sent home from our jobs, what are we going to do? Well, obviously, we're going to clean our house. You know,
watch more TV.
I'm gonna do some DIY projects that I've been meaning to do, clean the garage and whatnot. But we're going to watch, you know, inherently we're going to watch more TV because that's what we do. Or that's what we can do, I guess. She wants to watch Game of Thrones again. And I said, okay, we'll watch it season 1 up until the Battle of Winterfell. And then we won't watch any episode after that because Game of Thrones season 8 ended at the Battle of Winterfell for me because the rest of the season is fucking awful.
Yeah, the risk-taking choices definitely could have been tightened up and better thought out, and there are a whole other podcast worth of complaints about Game of Thrones we could make.
Yeah, well, you just can't be lazy, you know? And I think that's what the industry needs to realize. There's all this conjecture about, you know, the cinema as we know it is dead, and all these movie theater businesses are closing and failing, and you know, this is 2020 is going to be the resurgence year for drive-in movie theaters because you know it's their time to shine now, and I do like that because I'm one of the people that likes to go to the drive-in. You know, it's a part of it's a big part of my childhood. You know, and I wasn't alive in the 80s. Imagine how, you know, people growing up in the 70s and 80s, like how excited they were to go to the drive-in and how sad they were when the drive-ins went away. So I think this is the perfect opportunity to let's lift, you know, what's the saying? Rising tides do what, Nate?
They raise all ships, my friend.
So let's bring back the drive-ins and let's make those successful, and let's bring home or bring back like locally owned movie theaters. Let's bring those.
Yes.
Let's bring those back. Why should a movie cost $3 billion to fucking play in Lafayette, Indiana? It's unnecessary and it shouldn't. You know,
correct. Like,
let's fix the problem instead of just saying, well, you can't go to the movies anymore because they all went bankrupt. Wow, that's a crazy idea you got there. Why don't we fix it?
Yeah, there has to be a solution, right?
Yeah.
Oh man, it's funny. I was gonna tell you something important, and
sorry,
I lost my train of thought.
I'm a little bit half cocked today.
Me too, man. My brain's all over the place. We're just like riding a wave of consciousness.
You want to know? You want to? Here's some more positivity. While you think about what you were gonna say.
Okay.
Onward, right? We talked about that last week. We've talked about it off the air, like how great of a show it is. You know, it's the saddest fucking Disney movie I've ever seen.
Like, you've seen it now 1,000 times. I've
seen it now 1,000 times. Like, yesterday, it was getting towards the end of the movie, and I was standing there watching it with Ruby and Skylar, and I said, okay, I gotta go upstairs now, because Dad doesn't want to cry today.
I'm over it.
You know, I don't at a certain point in the movie, it's like, okay, I don't want to be emotionally destroyed right now. But the point that I'm trying to make is Disney did the right thing by releasing that on Disney Plus. They played it in the box office, as was the normal plan. Movies get closed down. What are we going to do now? Well, a lot of people didn't get to see it. So you know what? If you subscribe to our Disney Plus, which is reasonably priced, it'll be on there. Enjoy it. We're going to lose some money from not having another 10 weeks of box office or whatever. But here you go. Watch it, everybody. Enjoy. And it's fantastic. What I will not support is I looked at Friday evening, got off work, made dinner, did our thing. Let's watch the new Trolls movie. We all love Trolls. JT and Anna Kendrick. I mean, you guys get down with Trolls, right?
Trolls is all right. I'm all right.
I fuck with the Trolls, okay?
Sure.
And I go to watch it on Amazon Prime Video because they're doing a
instant cinema from home or whatever. Yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
It's $20.
What?
To rent it. Not to buy it. To rent it. Okay, maybe if this was Star Wars, right? Maybe if this was the first MCU movie, the first appearance of Galactus, right? Maybe. Maybe $20.
Yeah, you just got my dick super right, hard right? Galactus. I was like, whoop.
Not to watch Trolls. And you know what? Realistically, I shouldn't pay
That's reasonable.
I shouldn't pay $20 to watch it in my house anyway. Because there are businesses failing because they don't have that capital.
Yeah, you're right. I have a reminder for Finnegan. They're not making money on the concessions.
No.
I mean,
and it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that they have to have the concessions to make money to begin with.
Correct. The business is flawed. And I do remember what I was going to say earlier. This little pause, this pause button that you were talking about, how good it is good. And it's almost like the reverse of the 2007 writer's strike.
Yeah.
Because then the industry was like, got to keep pumping out content, even if it's shit. Even if we have the worst writers in the world with the most terrible ideas, we're going to keep going through, even though the people that are really good are refusing to write because we're not paying them properly. You know, like, this is the reverse of that. This is a stop button, and now everybody can reflect and go, maybe this idea is total dog shit. Maybe we don't need to reboot the Nightmare on Elm Street series for the 97th goddamn
right.
time. Like, maybe we need to do something original and different, look at this guy's crazy idea, and actually consider adapting it into the big screen and making it something bigger than it is. You know, like, this is an opportunity for a lot, and I think that this is going to be where we see some of the best cinema on the other side of this. Because right now, I don't care how close to done Black Widow was, Marvel's fine-tuning that motherfucker until
exactly.
it is spotless. There will be nothing that can be bitched about in their opinion. They will tell the exact story they wanted to tell and give you everything they wanted to the T, because now, instead of it being May and that was their target, they've got November, an extra 5 or 6 months to dilly with it, to look at it, to go, what can we edit a little bit better? Can we work on the graphics a little bit more? Can we make this fight a little bit more believable? Well, you know, maybe this scene doesn't strike and resonate in post like we wanted it to.
Let's add this to, you know, add this to your train of thought there. If it does suffer, if it does fail, right?
Sure.
Then it was going to be a bad movie all along.
Exactly.
Or Disney and Marvel did not utilize the extra time that they had. You know, if we sit down, you know, because I guarantee if the quarantine's lifted, either you'll be making a trip down here or I'll be making a trip up there, you know, because
God damn right.
Because obviously hanging out is overdue and you know, where everybody's going to want to get out of the house. Maybe we'll go to a drive-in and see it, you know. But if I sit down to watch the Black Widow movie, which I am excited to see, you know, we talked for two or three different episodes about how, you know, realistically, we talked for like 10 or 15 episodes last year, how we're not excited to see it at all. Like, why are we making this Black Widow movie? And then with the cast of characters and the story that they, you know, that we appear to know everything about at this point, bringing Taskmaster in as a villain and fucking, you know, like David Harbour looks fantastic. Scarlett Johansson looks fantastic, obviously reprising the role of Black Widow. You know, my kid yesterday morning asked me to watch a movie. And I was like, okay, Rube, what movie are we going to watch? Are we going to watch Onward again? She said, no, Daddy, I want to watch Captain America.
Really?
Okay, badass. Which one are we going to watch? And I'm scrolling through on Disney Plus, and she's like, that one. So Ruby and I watched Captain America Civil War. And
shit, yeah.
At the very beginning, you know, the credits are rolling and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, Dad, is Spider-Man in this movie? And I said, yep. And she's like, awesome. And Black Widow goes to run through the market, and she knew who Black Widow was. And it's like, okay, now, like, we've talked before that Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow is one of the underappreciated characters in the MCU. And, you know, this will be Black Widow, the movie will be her swan song as a character to kind of prove how, like, how important she was, you know. Not that she already didn't do that in Endgame, but I'm really, really excited to see it, and I really hope that if there were issues and there were things that they needed to work on, that they use this time wisely where they can. Obviously, we don't want to put anybody's health in danger, but if you can work from a desk and tweak it and fix it and do what you need to do, let's do it. I mean, everybody in the industry should be doing that.
Absolutely. Fine tune. Right now is your time to fine tune
exactly.
And make it perfect. I love that we are now all of a sudden in the MCU talk, because it just goes right into our next topic. I found an article and I sent it to you, and we're going to kind of bust through this relatively quickly. I know we don't want to be going too much longer. It is still Easter Sunday for those of you who believe in that and celebrate Easter. Yesterday was Easter Sunday as we're recording this. Mm-hmm. Today is Monday. But I found this article. Marvel fans have created 6 new viewing orders for the MCU. And did you get a chance to look at this before we started?
Yeah, I was actually reading through it as we started the podcast, or right before we started the podcast, and I like each of the takes that they wrote up.
Like, absolutely,
there's not one of them that I dislike, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and each one has like a sensible reasoning, and we're gonna talk about it. So we'll go down the line. First of all, they offered watching the side character cut, which includes films in this order: Captain Marvel, Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, Spider-Man Homecoming, Black Panther, Ant-Man and the Wasp, and then Spider-Man Far From Home. Essentially, the MCU's history through all the side characters, and it says exactly this. Where is the little thing? It says, this viewing order allows the fan to experience the big events of the MCU from a peripheral view of heroes that helped shape or were shaped by the stories of the bigger players around them. talking about Captain Marvel, Ant-Man, Black Panther, Nick Fury, and Hank Pym. It's a way of entering the larger world of the MCU right from the outset with the mystery of the bigger milestone events, the Battle of New York, propelling you forward. So, yeah, that's actually pretty clever. You don't get the Battle of New York. You're seeing all these side characters build up towards this thing, but you really are only getting the side character stories because there's none of the... No Avengers movies in this whatsoever, or Guardians movies. Mm-hmm. You also, let's see. Do you want to do the next one, or do you want me to do a couple, and then you do a couple, or how you want to read these
You
off?
Take the next one, and I'll do the one after that.
Sure. So the next one was the Iron Man cut, and I found this one interesting. This is mainly just Tony Stark's story, all the movies he's featured in exclusively, or has more than just, like, 30 seconds of time in. It's you watch the films in order: Iron Man, Iron Man 2, The Avengers, Iron Man 3, Age of Ultron, Civil War, Homecoming, Infinity War, Endgame, and then optional, you can end with Far From Home since it truly wraps that story up. It says, okay, so you don't want to begin your MCU experience from some sort of strange peripheral angle through side characters. Then you can start with the true MCU godfather himself, Iron Man. This lineup allows you to focus on the saga of RDJ's Tony Stark from his noble Iron Man beginnings to his now iconic Avengers Endgame end. And you even get his heroic legacy mentoring Spider-Man as a bonus. I like that one. That one intrigues me. But I feel like those are all the movies that I've seen the most, so it's not one that I particularly would be like, oh man, I want to jump on and just watch those.
Right.
Because as soon as I watch like fucking Avengers, I'm gonna want to watch Winter Soldier for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just gonna lead me down a slippery slope. Speaking of that, let's kick it to the next one. TY, what do you think about this next cut?
It's the Captain America cut. So you've got so if you don't want to begin your MCU experience from some strange peripheral angle through side characters, you already read that. Yeah, the order is Captain America, The Avengers, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Avengers Age of Ultron, then it's Captain America Civil War, Infinity War, Endgame. So maybe you're not Team Iron Man. Maybe you've been Team Cap all along. If that's the case, the Chris Evans, Steve Rogers has an epic story you can focus in on with the viewing order above. From his beginning as a scrawny kid with a heart of gold to his end as a scrawny old man with a heart of gold, Cap arguably has the best single storyline in the whole franchise. I like it.
That one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially after, you know, we've all inevitably seen the viewing reaction, the audio of everyone seeing Captain America grab Mjolnir for the first time.
Dude, that's been awesome to watch that.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, and I like, you know, they released that at the right time.
Yeah, the world needs to remember that moment when we all got to see him be worthy.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty epic. It'll be a moment I'll never, ever, 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 ever forget.
Right.
Sure.
I'll just glaze over this one. It's the Infinity Stone cut. Basically, all the movies that have an Infinity Stone, that's what you got.
In order. With Captain America. And then
yeah.
Jump to Marvel next. Which is interesting.
This one's pretty lackluster, I think.
Yeah, it's the only one in the list that I was just like, yeah, okay, the stones aren't really a character though,
right? And that's what it says. It says if you're not interested in a particular character storyline, the MCU also offers a wonderful lineup of MacGuffins you can chase. All the way to Thanos' galactic supremacy with the all powerful Infinity Gauntlet. So it's all Infinity Stones all the time. Which is pretty lame.
Yeah, it's all right. It's not the absolute worst thing, but it's not, like I said, it's hard to make the MacGuffin be what you're caring about in the story when, I mean, like, as a fan, I get it. Because sure, if you know what's coming, like, a fucking course, it's great to just glaze over and just get what the Infinity Stones were doing in the MCU. But it doesn't really grasp me. And even this next one doesn't really grasp me because I feel like it leaves so much out, even though it hits some of my favorite movies.
Right. I would agree.
The Cosmic Marvel cut has Captain Marvel, Thor, Thor the Dark World, Guardians, Guardians 2, Ragnarok, Infinity War, and then Endgame. Cool and all, you know, the cosmic heroes and sci-fi stuff and all that, but again, it has some of my favorite movies. It's missing some of my favorite movies, so it's not as complete. But the next one, T.Y., do you know what the next one is, man?
I think you should take this one.
Well, yeah, but the next one, and I just, to really give you why I got so excited about it, this is essentially the Infinity Saga's machete order.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's called the Arc Reactor Cut. And in order, you watch The Avengers, Avengers Age of Ultron. If you choose to, you can watch Civil War. I think it's a must.
I agree.
Then you watch Infinity War. Infinity War, you get the snap happening. Then you start Iron Man. So now you're in flashback mode. Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Thor, then Captain America, the First Avenger, then Guardians, then Ant-Man, then Doctor Strange, Spider-Man Homecoming, Black Panther, Captain Marvel. Boom. Endgame is your ending. And you get... It's not every movie now. You notice I didn't say the second Captain America?
Right.
Yeah, I didn't say the second Captain America. I didn't say Thor 2. Didn't say Ant-Man and the Wasp. Didn't say the second Spider-Man. There's at least four movies that are left out, right? But the way that they build that is so... I think it's just brilliant. And here's what they have to say about that. Deemed to be an experimental cut of the MCU saga, the Arc Reactor cut starts off with the Avengers rising to power, then tracks how they slowly pull apart, allowing Thanos to utterly defeat them. After the harrowing losses of Infinity War, we then go back and see the long road our heroes took to get to that tragic place. After the background is established, we see the whole MCU come back together in that epic endgame final battle. It's essentially an in media res approach to the franchise. Start with the biggest action, then get the flashback origins, then use that expanded context for an emotional finale. It didn't work out for DC's Justice League universe, but it could work here. I'm all about it.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm fucking jazzed, my friend. And then here's an update for those of you who don't know. Here's an update on the MCU's schedule. Black Widow's November 6th. The Eternals is now moved to February 12th. Shang-Chi and the Legends of the Ten Rings is moved to May 7th, which... Honestly, here's my humble opinion. I think Shang-Chi and the Eternals need to just switch spots. And I say that because Shang-Chi's date lined up perfectly with Chinese New Year. That was why they gave it that date. So if you move and just flip-flop those two, I mean, switching those in the order that they released, I don't think will have that big of an impact, but I could be wrong. After May 7th of 2021, the last movie we'll get of next year is going to be November 5th. We will get Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness moving into 2022, which seems forever away. Thor, Love and Thunder, Black Panther 2, Captain Marvel 2, and a bunch more still to be announced. What do you think of this Arc Reactor cut, man?
I love it. I dig it.
I do, too. I'm like half a fucking tempted to start it tonight. Just get it on. I watched, while I was working on the comic room, I watched Thor Ragnarok until I had to shut the TV down. And then when it got booted back up, I could... keep watching it and finish up. Then I watched Infinity War in here the other night, and then I watched Endgame in here last night. So maybe this is going to be my next step. I don't know. Seems like a fun little thing to do. Shit, have you ever watched the Star Wars in machete order?
Yeah.
Okay, good, good, good. I would say that's a fun other experiment for sure. Yeah, man, I don't really have anything else major to talk about today on the docket. Is there anything else for you?
No, we got it.
Awesome. Well, before we get out of here, folks, as always, you can check out the Journey into Comics podcast. I can't get my words out today. Apparently, I'm a little tongue-tied. Check us out at journeyintocomics.com. Get us on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher Radio, Google Play Music, Spotify, CastBox, TuneIn, and many others. Just search Journey into Comics Network. And, you know, subscribe, man. We really appreciate you folks who have been subscribing and tuning in. Thank you guys who are listening all around the globe. We love you guys so much. I think that's going to do it for this week's episode of Journey into Comics. It's been Journey into Comics 291, Mal Capone. I've been Nate.
I've been T.Y.
And we'll see you folks later. As always, pop them caps back and fill your brains with shit. Later, guys.